We did look at verses 1 to 3 a few weeks ago about the heathen raging, the rebellion of humanity against the Lord. Let's read the psalm and then we'll get into our message tonight. We're going to be looking at God's reaction to the human rebellion. What is God's reaction now? Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet if I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's pray. Father, tonight we come before your throne of grace and your throne of mercy. Father, we are a needy people. We thank you, Father, that your word is sufficient to meet our needs. Father, you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Father, tonight we need your word. And we need the power and conviction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The leadership of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. That our minds might understand your will for our lives through the Scriptures. And that we might make decisions based upon your word, not upon our opinions, the opinions of the world, or even our own feelings, but strictly based upon your word, your perfect will for our lives. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be in the second section of this psalm, verses 4 to 6 tonight. And we're just kind of walking through this psalm. It's not easy to just, you know, skip over these verses. And so we want to take a little time. So we have a noisy scene on earth. Isn't that what we have today? You know, one of the things, I don't know, let me just interject a few things here. How much noise is in your soul? How much noise is in your soul? And, you know, we live in a noisy world. And God doesn't want us to allow that in our soul. We sang a song, there's glory in our soul. Is there glory in our soul? So, this is what the world offers. You're not going to get anything out of this world. But as we do know this, God is in heaven. God is on his throne. And guess what? There's peace in heaven. There's no noise in heaven. And that's what we need to understand, and we need to get that in our souls. I think that's what revival is all about. In fact, I believe God's leading me this Sunday, set everything aside. You know, every other study we've been doing, and just have a Sunday of preparation for revival and different messages about what we need to be doing to even be in a place that God can revive us. So I really believe it's important, as God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still, and we need to shut everything out of our lives. I think that's what revival is about, when you can take some time to shut everything out and let God work in your soul, in your inner man. Now, in heaven, we're getting a glimpse here. Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens, that's God. And he's not worried about the kings of this earth. He's not worried about China. He's not worried about Russia. He's not worried about nuclear arms, by the way. And that's what man's doing. They're arming themselves against God. That's what it's going to be, folks. The battle is raging against God. But what's he going to do? He shall laugh. He shall laugh. And so, the greatest rulers of this earth are but grass to be cut down, to wither. The strongest nations are only drops in the bucket. Go over to Isaiah 40. I love that chapter. Isaiah 40. There's some contrast in there. The greatness of God and the puniness of man. Amen. And this is keep things in perspective, right? As we look out into this world and see the battle raging, what's the perspective that we ought to have, brethren? Well, let's read verses 6 to 8. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Verse 12. Who hath measured? Now think of this. This is God, right? Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And so, let's just keep reading. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as what? Nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Let's put that on the front page, the headlines of every newspaper in America and around the world. So God, aren't you thankful today? There is grace. God is speaking to the nations in his grace. He's calling them to salvation. That's why we send out these missionaries. This is still the command of God, to go and to teach all nations, to preach the gospel to every creature, to go unto the end of the world. Why? Because God's grace is still being extended. But the day is coming that God's going to speak in his wrath, not in his grace. Do we understand that? Read the book of Revelation. We're not right now, by the way. Revelation 6, chapter 6 to 19. You should read it. So if people today do not accept God's judgment, as we learned this last week of the cross, how he judged his son for us, and if they don't come in repentance to Christ and trust him, they will have to accept God's judgment on them, his wrath on their lives, and because of their sin, wrath will be poured out. So number one, we did see this, just by way of review, human rebellion, verses 1 to 3. Human rebellion. Number two, divine reaction. Divine reaction, that's where we're at tonight. We're going to learn some things about God. Letter A, God is sitting. Sitting, he that sitteth in the heavens. You know, sitting upon the throne, again, remember, he's in control. God's sitting there. Amen? It's a sign of authority. He's on his throne. God is occupying a ruling position. But not only is he sitting upon the throne, he's secure. He's not fretting. He's secure in his power. He's secure in his position as the Lord of the universe. And God is not threatened by this coalition of nations. Remember, we talked about that. Verses 1 to 3, a coalition that is uniting against him. Isn't that what Russia and China and communism and atheism and you name it? They're against God. And how many, to tell you the truth, listen, in America, atheism is like the fad, you know, to be an atheist. And then, hold on, there's so many so-called false Christians, because that's all they were, deconstructing their faith. Well, if you have a faith that can be deconstructed, it's not the faith that saves. It's not a faith, you were never a Christian. Because apostasy is, you never had it. That's why you go away. That's what apostates are. This is a popular now. People are going around, these famous singers and contemporary Christian singer, rock singers, and deconstruction of your faith. I mean, let me tell you something. I don't know if you sit here and understand. This is a serious evil spirit in America. Atheism, deconstructionism of your faith. This is blowing winds everywhere. All over the place. This is serious. But aren't you thankful God is secure in his power? Even though all this is a fad. Even though all this is popular, even though all these nations are uniting against God, he is not snapping into action or mounting a defense or getting worried in heaven. So God is sitting. Letter B, God is scorning. Scorning. Laughing. He shall laugh. God is not shaken. He is laughing. He is not nervous about the plans of man to attack him. God is sure. And listen, brethren, his laughter is for the benefit of his people. You know, his laughter, when we see God laughing here, it's giving us comforting assurance that he's unthreatened, that he's in control. Let's see that tonight. So remember this, Mother Nature is not in charge. Ecological disaster is not in charge. Nuclear threat is not in charge. God is in charge. Let's remember that. God is in charge. He is sitting, he's scorning. Let her see, God is scoffing. It's a mocking laugh. That's what the word derision means. The Lord shall have them in derision. It's a mocking laugh. He's holding these rebellious enemies in derision. That is, he scoffs at them. The presumption of the nations causes God to laugh. And the truth is, how can the created fight their creator? That's why God's laughing. We see another contrast with Psalm 1 as we kind of compare and contrast. Psalm 1, the ungodly scorn God and his law. Remember that? In Psalm 2, God scorns them. What is amazing to us is amusing to the Lord. You know, we sit here and we're like, oh my, look at this. And man, this is amazing. Look at everything that's happening. And that's amusing to God. We see all this, you know, power and might and armies and a million man army, you know, and all the nuclear bombs and as if that is enough to prevail against the Lord. That's why God laughs. As if that's going to be enough. So God sits on the throne and laughs to scorn. Laughs in scoffing. But then we see, letter D, God is sorely displeased. Sorely displeased. Verse 5. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. So we see God speaks in his wrath. So now we see that God's amusement turns to anger. He will strike terror into their hearts. You see again how it's important to take this psalm and then go to Revelation in chapter 6 to 19, and you see God's righteous judgments, God's wrath, and the fear that's going to be poured out in the hearts of men. That's real. So God speaks unto them in his wrath. God will vex them. That's what it says here. And vex them. Vex means to terrify. Vex means to tremble inwardly. Go to Revelation 5, verses 15 and 16. Well, that would be good if you can find it, amen. How about chapter 6? That's the one. Sorry about that. I thought about why am I going back to chapter 5 when I was mentioning chapter 6 to 19, but now I know why. All the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There it is, very clear. God will vex them. He will terrify them. They will tremble inwardly. They will run and away from God. And God is angry, the verse says. That's wrath. Now, God's anger is not sinful as man's anger. God is not angry because of uncontrolled emotions. And a lot of times, our anger is because of uncontrolled emotions. And that's where we sin. Though anger in itself is not sinful, it's because of our uncontrolled anger, our uncontrolled emotions. Because God is angry. God gets angry. His anger stems from a holy and righteous character. And so that's why we talk about righteous anger. But it's very seldom that we can achieve righteous anger. But because God is not mean in his anger. He's not vicious. He's just and righteous. And he will act perfectly, even in anger. It's holy, it's pure, it's just, it's righteous, even in anger. So this is God's perfect, unbiased justice, and his perfect, unbiased justice demands that mankind be held accountable for their rebellion against him, and that's what we're seeing play out here in these verses. And also in the book of Revelation. And then we see, letter E, God set his king upon the throne. Verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. God's anointed is Jesus Christ. And notice, this verse says this. He's not a king. He's not the king. But God says he's my king. Amen. He's God's anointed. God will overthrow the rebellion by setting his king upon the throne. That's what it means to set. He's going to set his king upon the throne. And what's going to happen? He's firmly placed there, amen? And we know this, when he's coming back to rule with a rod of iron. And Jesus will be enthroned on the earth. Let's go to Revelation 11:15. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. How about chapter 19, verse 16? And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Well, look at verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He that treadeth the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So think about going back to our text. He says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. Set is in the past tense. You know why? It's as good as done. It's as good as done. It will happen. That's God's way of telling us how sure, how certain this will be. By speaking in the past tense. Now, brethren, in conclusion, where do we fit in? We're to spend our lives working for the Lord's kingdom. Amen. It's a great privilege. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:33? That we're to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Yes. The blessing is that he will bless us. Amen. And supply our needs. But that should be the first priority in our lives. We should devote ourselves to bringing God's will to pass in this world. It is God's will for all to believe on Jesus Christ, receive him as their Savior and Lord. That the Lord is not willing that any should perish. The Lord wills that all men will come to the knowledge of truth. That's what the Bible says. So, brethren, one of our primary responsibilities in working in this kingdom is to preach the gospel. That's why it's so important as a church, as we say, keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is the Great Commission. Don't get lost. You know, keep the main thing the main thing. Preach the gospel. Get out there and try to win souls. Keep preaching the gospel. Try to bring people to Christ. That's the main thing. That's living for it. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the main thing. And the kingdom of God is established on earth one soul at a time. Amen. They're born again into the kingdom of God. One soul at a time. We should acknowledge Jesus Christ as the King of our lives and allow him to reign in us every day. I think that's what we understand by being born again into the kingdom of God, meaning we have a king. We're in his kingdom now. It's a spiritual kingdom. And so we are to allow him to rule and reign in our lives every day. That means we should surrender ourselves to him every day. When making decisions, when planning your schedule, choosing what we will do, we should be, his will should be our primary concern, brethren. His will, not my will. Thy will, not my will be done. Isn't that what Jesus told us to pray? Amen. He himself prayed, an example for us. Do you think God's going to fail you? Do you think that if you dedicate your life to him and you do his will and you go all out for him, that he's going to let you down? No. That he's not going to meet your needs? Mm-hmm. That he's not going to work all things for good in your life if you really sell out for him? No, just the contrary. He's going to bless you. You're going to have what he wants. And then all things are going to work together for good to them who love God. That's the key there. Put him first. Put his priorities first. Isn't that what should be the application in our lives, brethren? If he's on the throne and Jesus is on the throne, he should be on the throne in our hearts. And that should make a real impact on our daily life. Not just some profession that we make, but a reality that we do acknowledge him every day in our thoughts, in our prayers, our meditations, his word, in our decisions. We are concerned of doing his will, not our will. You know, that'll settle a lot for you once you just resolve this. He's Lord, he's King. Then just do what he wants and forget about everything else, in the sense of don't worry about it. God will work that out for you if you put him first. He will. He'll work it all out. Just put him first. That's the faith. Isn't that what the last verse says? Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Isn't that putting your trust in him? You do his will, he'll work the rest out. Amen. Let's pray.